things and building a house for God. I'm not thinking necessarily of a building. That's what spurred this message, was our building that we're doing. And I was thinking about how our dedication service and the breaking of the ground service, and I'm thinking a lot of things about a building. And I came across this, where this is talking about King David. His desire was to build a house of God. But David was a man of war. And God said, you can't do that. And Nathanael first said, hey, that's great, that's wonderful, do what's in your heart. But then the Lord spoke to Nathanael, Nathan, the prophet, at night and said, no, you shouldn't have told that to David. And then I'm going to put it in my words. And so he came back later and said, and the next day, and said, David, you can't do that. But God's going to let your son do that. And so, but you can prepare for it. You can prepare for it. And so this is the story. Now, Solomon is in the picture, and we see this. The first thing I want to talk about here, and Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord and a house for his kingdom. The first thing about building a house for God is one must be determined. One must be determined. Now, let me kind of give you some examples. In a third world country or a socialistic country, which we're coming to in America, they tell you when the lights are going out, or they don't even tell you. They just turn them out. And they go on whenever they decide that they're going to go back on. When you're in a socialistic country, the water goes out, and it comes back on whenever they want it to come back on. And whatever reason they give you, that's the reason, that's the truth. That may not be the truth, but that's their reasoning for the truth. And so that happens a lot in Africa. Our lights will go out, our water will go out, and it's very inconvenient. So when you're building a brick, a block, or a solid cement building with iron rods, you'll see the construction. That is a massive, strong building. Not all the time buildings are made by that way. They're usually made with some bricks that are put together with some dough. And you think about in Mexico and other places, even in Africa, they'll get some dirt and mud, and they'll make their little bricks and let the sun bake them, and they'll build their house that way. But there's no foundation. It's not done right. And you see many years later, or a few months later, you'll see the walls cracking and coming apart, and sometimes those things collapse. So, but building a house for God, it takes determination. Determination, in Africa, we built this, you'll see it on our slides, we built this, looked like a baptismal pool. That's not what we built it for. We built it for a reservoir. We built it to prepare when the water goes out so we can continue building our building. And so what I say that for is it takes extra preparation to build a house for God. It takes thinking ahead of time to build a house for God. I think of young folks. What are you going to do with your life? What does God want you to do with your life? You might take some preparation and have to go through discipleship and get in church, stay in church. Might have to take some preparation and then go on through college and things like that. Things you're thinking about ahead of time. Why? Because you want to be prepared. You're building a house for who? For the Lord. And so here, our lives as Christians, we are saved. We have the Lord dwelling in our lives. And so it takes a determination. There's many Christians that come to church, and they'll fill the pew, they'll sit in their place, but not all those Christians that are coming to church and looking great and singing the right song are right with God. It takes a determination. It's not always easy to do the things of God. It's not always easy to be the Christian that God wants us to be, the Lord wants us to be. It takes a determination. And so here, I think of determination. Let me give you a definition of definition. To determine speaks of having made firm decision, being resolved not to change it, not to change it. And so when you, I think of the Old Testament, how people dedicated themselves to the Lord, they also consecrated themselves to the Lord. And meaning they set themselves apart for the Lord. And that's what we got to do when we want to live for Christ. We're building a house for God. We need to set aside, we're serious about it. It's for the Lord. We need to set ourselves aside and be determined to do that. So whatever comes, my wife, when before we got married, yeah, I'll give you a little bit of this. This is a good idea. It works. I went up to be an assistant pastor in 94 at my brother's church, and I started a singles class. It's a pretty smart idea. I started a singles class, and I started asking the people in our singles class, do you have any good prospects to go visit? And so a few prospects were given me, so I said, okay, I'll go visit them. And I knocked on this one door, and you know, some like these windows back here, or the door right here is solid glass, but some of these storm windows are plexiglass, and you know, things vibrate. And she had the house, I went in her house. I went to go visit it. I knocked on the door, and these two Rottweilers. Have you ever seen Rottweilers? They got big heads. And when they bark, the plexiglass storm window looked like a speaker. And, you know, in the hood, or I mean, the speaker, you know, when it goes on, you see the speaker bouncing, and everybody's car around them is shaking. I mean, and so that's kind of how that dog, when he barked, that's how it went. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I can come back next week. And so I did that. And I came back, I went back, and she's out washing her dad's boat, cleaning it off. And I invited her to church, and I said, I'm assistant pastor there, and we just started a singles class and said, we'd like you to come. And if you listen to her, and she tells this story, she says she was there before. Now, I never saw her. And so anyways, so I visited her, she came, and little as she started growing in the Lord, she said, you know, our revival's coming up. I invited her in May. She started coming in June. And little by little, she started coming a little more faithful. And, you know, as a young person growing up, a lot of times mom or someone says, especially if mom don't go to church or anything in her heart about it, she said, well, let's go to grandma's house on Sunday. And my wife now, she said to her mom, she said, I think I'm gonna stay here and go to church. It takes determination. Sometimes you have to put the things you love to the side for the things that are more important that you love. And then you grow in the love. And that's, you know, it's not always easy. In Africa, we have young people. We have young people that will come to church not because their parents are coming. They come to church because they want to come. That's different from a lot of people in this country. They go to church because their parents make them. And it's good. I think the parents need to train them in the way they ought to go. Okay, that's all right. But there needs to come a time in your life where you say, I'm going to do this because I want to. I'm going to do this because it's in my heart. Because I'm determined that God is who I love and who I'm going to serve. You look at the Apostle Paul, and that's what he says. He said, this is the God whom I love and whom I serve. In Acts chapter 27. So the first thing, in building the house of God, the first thing you want to know is it takes determination. It takes determination. It just don't happen by coming to church. It just don't happen because your parents go to church. It does just don't happen because you're here. You got to be determined to do it. Because, you know, the devil's going to allow you, if you got my latest newsletter, the devil is going to tempt you with everything you have. You're a young person. A lot of people in our country, they like to play football, or not NFL football, that's too harsh. They like to play soccer, And we sometimes tease them and say, hey, that's cheerleading. But I don't chance to tell everybody that because it might offend some people. But the ones that are in our church and know me, I say, oh, that's cheerleading. And we didn't get real football, get the NFL, which those people make me sick today anyways. The truth is, it takes determination. You say, man, I got ability. I'm a young person. Why am I wasting my time sitting in church? Man, all my friends are playing football, or they're playing soccer, or they're doing this ability or this talent. And you say, and you know, as a young person, you got that ability. There's a lot of things you can do. But what does God want you to do? How are you directing it? You know, he's given you those abilities. So let's go on and we'll talk. So it takes, number one, it takes determination to build a house for God. Let's look, and we see that in verse 1. It says, and Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord and a house for his kingdom. Number two, I want to talk about this. We'll look at verse 4. The Bible says, and that one must be dedicated to him. Dedicated to him. Look at verse 4. Behold, I build an house to the name of the Lord, my God, to dedicate it to him. Now, if you're saved, you're the house of the Lord. Right? You're the temple of God. And so it's your, this is, you say this is your body, but if you got saved, you're bought with a price. You're his. You're owned by him. Now, he'll let you do what you want. He'll let you make the choices you want. And that's a sad thing when you go ahead and do it your way and not God's way. But God's going to let you learn however you decide to do it. Here the Bible says in verse, the second thing was, one must dedicate it to him. Dedicate. Let's look at the definition. To dedicate speaks of a person devoted to a task or purpose, having a single-minded loyalty, or having an integrity. Okay? A single mind. In Acts, in the book of Acts, we will not turn over here, but in the book of Acts, the Bible tells us about how there was the early church, okay? They was of one mind. They had one mind, one heart. They was had all things in common. And talking about the early church and how they was in one accord with the the apostles' doctrine, and eating of the bread and communion and reading of the Word of God. Okay, over in Acts. Let's go ahead and turn there. That way you know it's there. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, the Bible says, then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000. So we're talking about saved people. We're talking about the church. Okay? And as a Christian, guess what? You're to add to your faith. You need to grow in the Lord. Okay? And it takes you determination, also takes you a dedication. And it says here, and they continued steadfastly, in verse 42, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now, I could talk a little about the sign gifts that the apostles did. Those are not for today, okay? The book of Acts is a book of transition. It's not a book of prescription, okay? In verse 44, the Bible says, and they that believed were together and all, had all things common. So here, they sold their possessions as we go on down there and we look at that. But here, the point is, you have to be dedicated. You have to be dedicated. Give it to God. When I went to be a pastor, or not to be a pastor, I remember when I was 16, I gave my heart to God to be a preacher. I remember Brother Melton preaching about Moses and all the excuses he had and why he couldn't do it. And I decided, well, there's a lot of reasons I can't, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. Why? Because it's God. He can do it. He can make it happen. He can make it work. And when I was 19, I was in Bible school, and we had missions conference, and at our church we was where I went to Bible school, and then at the in the morning we had services for the missions conference, and we would come down from our Bible classes and we'd go to the missions conference, and I surrendered there to go to be a missionary. I didn't know exactly where or when that's going to happen, but I surrendered to it. It takes dedication. It takes dedication. And some things, if you read in the Bible, things that, look at David. When he was anointed to be king, he was 16. It was a long process before he became that king. So when God works in your heart about surrendering or giving your life to him about certain things, you may not know all the details. You just do what he says and obey him, and then let it happen. It'll come little by little. And so let's go with that. So verse 4 I find here in our passage, 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 4. The Bible says, "And behold, I build an house to the name of the Lord my God to dedicate it to him." To dedicate it to him. That means I'm going to give it to him. I'm holy and holy-minded and single-minded on him and what he wants. And so I find that, number one, it takes determination to build a house for the Lord. Number two, it takes dedication to build a house for the Lord. His name is for him. And then number three, it must be a place of prayer where one prays for him. Look at verse 4 as we are reading along there. It says, "And to burn," after we read about dedication, building the house to the name of the Lord, my God, "to dedicate it to him and to burn before him sweet incense." When I read this, I think of that's what prayers are. They're incense to God. When you're praying to God, it's like going into the tabernacle in the Old Testament, and they had the altar of incense, and that represented prayers going to God. So in our lives, praying to God is, especially if we're living right, I mean, before you got into the temple in the Old Testament, you had to clean yourself. You had to get right. You had to put things in your life away. You had to clean up. So that was at the brazen altar and the lamb that you brought. Then we see them going to the laver, and the laver was kind of like an agana. They call it ashashay, which is a looking glass or a mirror. So they look at that, and you know, after you get done with that bloody sacrifice, you're dirty. As a Christian, we're going to God. We lay down things. We burn. We sacrifice to him, and we got some dirt in our lives. We need to get rid of, so we can serve him, be holy to him. Okay, and so they went into the tabernacle and so on and so on. But here, the presence of God is in that tabernacle. In our lives, the presence of God should be real and be evident. So it must be a place of prayer. It's not a social group. Here, one prays to him. And so I find this. Let's look at another thing. Number four, to build a house for God, it takes determination. It takes one to be dedicated. And also, it must be a place of prayer. Then fourthly, I find out it must be a place of continual digesting the Word of God. When I went to Bible school, I don't know if I learned much of anything. But before I went to Bible school, every day the church was open. I was there under Dr. King, and I would write stuff in my Bible, and I would learn. And I think that's exactly how it happened with Samuel. And I think he went into the house of God, and he grew up there. Amen. And God was speaking to him. And that's how you learn. It's not necessarily by going to school to get a degree. A lot of times you get a degree by writing an essay and doing all these assignments, and you have so many things to do that your mind is not even on them. I'm not talking that it's bad to go to school. I think it's important to go to school. You learn a lot of things. discipline, timing. I mean, a lot of things. Okay. And paying your bills, responsibility. So I think that's good also. But learning from God is something where you need to break the bread. You know, and you know what? It wasn't just when I went to church. I broke the bread in my own bedroom. And I read, and I wanted, when I read the Bible, I read to get something out of it. I don't read it just because, hey, this is my schedule. I'm going to read the Bible through a year. And I do. And I'm not bragging about that. I'm just telling you that there's a difference between trying to race through your Bible because this is the goal. And there's a difference in reading it to get something out of it. What is God saying to you? When I hear most preachers preaching, and I hate to say this, they're not telling me anything about convicting my heart. They're just telling me all the things that they know. That's not the kind of preacher to have. The kind of preacher is someone who loves them pastors and shepherds and wants to teach his sheep. And so, anyways, let's go past that one before I get too deep. So let's go here. Here I find that the house of God, to build a house for God, you have to be determined and dedicated. It needs to be a place of prayer. It needs to be a place where the bread of God, the word of God, is broken. I can remember many times I would go to school in the morning, and then I worked at Procter & Gamble. You know, Milford was First Baptist Church is where I went to. And we went to Bible school there, and then I'd go to work at Procter & Gamble, and I had to be there at 4 o'clock. From Milford to Cincinnati, it was 45 minutes, and could be longer if somebody got in your way. On the way back home, it was a late night. Sometimes I'd leave Procter & Gamble because I was a carpet cleaner. I wasn't a Procter & Gamble rich guy. I was a Procter & Gamble cleanup or janitor-like. And so I was there, and it was about 1:30 in the morning when I got home. I mean, we went through a lot of things. I wrecked my car and everything because I fell asleep on the last exit. But, I mean, the Lord saw me through all of it. I'm just telling you, it takes determination. It takes dedication. It needs to be a place of prayer. And God knows you need to have a relationship with God. It's, you know, when we read our Bibles, that's God speaking to us. When we pray, that's us speaking to God. There's a simple way to think of it. And so we need to think of that. You know, have you had a cell phone? You have a cell phone? Some of these cell phones are terrible. Or in locations you go, you're sitting there talking, and the person on the other end doesn't even hear you. And you say, oh, I said all that? And they didn't even hear it. And so you say, hello, hello. When we're in Africa, this is how it works. I'm in my house, and I'm walking all around trying to find the right spot. The person over here is calling me, or I'm calling them, and we're trying to talk, and I say a lot of things, and they said, hello, hello, hello. And I figured out they didn't hear one thing I just said. That's awesome. That's great. It just makes you feel wonderful. And so, what, you know, that's not the way we should be communicating with God. It should be reception. It should be a fellowship. And so we'll go on. And so the Bible tells us in verse 4, it tells us here, it must be a place of continually digesting the Word of God. We already went over to Acts chapter 2, and we read about the early church and breaking the bread. So it's not only something we should be doing at church and be at church and be faithful to the Lord and try to get something out of it, but it's something we ought to have in our daily lives. We need to walk with God. You know, I don't read about Enoch going to church. But he walked with God. And God said to Enoch one day, hey, just come home. Just come home. He had a fellowship with God. Adam, in the cool of the day, he walked with the Lord before sin. That's the best place to be. And so we find those things. I find another thing, number 5, the fifth thing, it must be a place with an altar for offerings. Verse 4, the Bible says, as we're continuing to read that, talking about building a house for God, to dedicate it to Him, to burn before Him sweet incense for the continual showbread, which I just talked about, and then for burnt offerings. Burnt offerings. Burnt offerings is speaking of offerings, talking about something I give God, I bring to Him. Not something somebody wants me to bring to God. You know, sometimes it's easy to give somebody something that was given to you. But what's hard is giving somebody something that was yours or that you had to pay for. Isn't it? It is. And I think that's the difference between mom and dads and teenagers. Teenagers, they know a lot, but they don't understand a lot. But to be a mom and dad, you give them, and it costs you. But that's what God did. He gave His only begotten Son so that we could be saved. It cost Him. David, when he was sacrificing, or when he was going to give an offering to God, and we go to Chronicles and we can look at that, but in the passage where he went to Arnon and he got the threshing floor, he bought that to sacrifice to God. Even the one that gave it to him, or was going to give it to, wanted to give it to him. He said, no, I'll pay for it. Let me ask you, how much is it costing you to do something for God? Our preacher used to say, give until it hurts. And I'm not just talking about money. A lot of times that references that. But in your lives, what are you giving up for? What are you giving up for living for God? What are you giving up to follow Him? What are you giving up? It's His house. We're building a house for Him. Okay, so one must be determined, one must be dedicated. It's a place of prayer. It's a place of continual digesting the Word of God. It's a place that should be with an altar. And the altar is a place where you come and sacrifice. You know, sometimes people will come to the altar for a show. I don't know anybody's heart, but I know that happens. But sometimes people come to the altar because God spoke to them. So you come for the right motive. Let God work in your heart and be sensitive to Him. The altar is a place for offering. Give it to God. I can remember not only giving my life, but I can remember when we got married, we dedicated our marriage and to God. And we sang the song. I didn't sing the song, but somebody sang the song about we are an offering. And I mean it. Then I remember when our kids started coming. Each one, we'd come, bring them to the altar and we'd give them to God. Why? Because He gave them to me. And so there's a responsibility. So I think of the offering and I think of the altar. It needs to be there. Then I find here, number six, it must be a great place, but it is not where one can contain God or confine God, but it's a place that you can approach God. Think of your heart. You can't put God in there, can you? We can't put Him in the building. That's what it's saying here. Who can build a house for God? That's not the point. The point is being able to approach Him. The point is when He lives in your life, is He just sitting there waiting for when you yield to Him? Or when you decide to do something for Him? Or when you have a good day, it's not raining? Or is He there in the night? I know He's always there as your saved person, but as a Christian, is He living in you? Are you letting Him live through you? Let Him inhabit your life. And so I find these things. Then seventhly, it must be a place of sacrifice that costs us. And I talked about that, His people. Then it is a symbolic. The house of God is a symbolic, or it's a picture of the Christian body and His temple, and I talked about that. And then lastly, it must be a place that always tells of our substitute. The house of God, are you going visiting? You tell your friends. No, I'm not just talking about knocking on doors. This is a different generation. Things happen in different ways. Not everybody's receptive at the door. But you know what? You do go to school somewhere. You do have interaction with other people that don't come to church. What are you talking about? And so here, it must be a place where we always tell of our substitute through teaching, preaching, discipling, or training, or just through our regular everyday life. What are we talking about? What are we saying to God? So those are nine things that has to do with building a house for God. And the last thing that I want to give you, it must be a place where one can grow through trials and tests. You know, the Bible says, last night I'm going to talk, stop here, is the Bible says in 1 Peter that precious is our trials of faith. Those are precious. They help us. They help us grow. It needs to be that place. And you know, when we're serious about building a house for God, then we'll be able to go through those trials. And we'll be able to overcome those trials. Because the Lord is the victor. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I pray that you would be honored and pleased with this service and the next service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. God bless you.